That's good. We had a really, really good trip. It was probably by far one of the best trips we've had. And the Lord just worked. You know, the Lord worked in my heart and convicted me and showed me just things, you know, that you know, sometimes we neglect or overlook. We were able to play three different teams, and then on Friday we had a tournament. And altogether, we probably were able to witness to at least 100 we probably were able to witness to at least 100 young men, and we had 42 make a profession of faith. And you got to understand that, you know, in their culture, for a guy to actually raise their hand in front of his peers, like, usually they're serious. So Brother Dean got their info, and he's going to follow up on them and try discipling them. We also had three young men dedicate, and that's what I was praying. Brother Dwight and I, as we prayed, I was like, Brother Dwight, I'd like to see at least one person be called to full-time ministry. And three guys responded. And it's not all, you know, it's not about results. But God is still in the soul-saving business. And St. Kitts is no different than the U.S. if we are but obedient in taking the gospel and preaching to the lost. It was good. Satan obviously was mad. And he tried intimidating us a couple of times. But God's our shield and our protection. And it's good to be back anyways. What I'm bringing this morning is something that I actually heard. This is my first time taking something that I heard, but it blessed me so much, and I'd like to share that with you. It's actually somewhat of a story, and I'm going to try to apply that to your life and to my life. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah. I'm going to have a lot of references, so I'll assign them to people, and we'll get started like that. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we read, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Let's go ahead and pray. We actually didn't pray for our missionaries. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, you don't give up on us. Lord, even though we fail you so many times, you are faithful. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts, Lord, as you have on mine. I just pray that your word would be an encouragement to us here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story is told of a pencil maker, and as he made the pencil, he got one pencil and he said, "Hey, pencil." And again, the story is not original with me, but there's some really good truth that I think we can apply to our life. He said, "Pencil, there's five things that you've got to know. Five things you got to know." So the little pencil, like, okay, what is that? He said, "Well, the first thing is," and I'm going to give the points, and we're going to go back and apply that to us. The first thing is, you got to remember that you will be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held by someone's hand. So the pencil, oh, okay. And then the second thing is, you know, sometimes you'll experience some painful sharpening, but that's only to make you better. And then thirdly, and these are actually the main points. And then thirdly, you'll be able to go back and correct, you know, the mistakes that you'll make. And then fourthly, you know, the most important thing, it is very, very important what's inside, which is, you know, obviously the lead. If a pencil doesn't have lead inside, it's useless. It's just a piece of stick. And then fifthly, on every surface you are used on, you must leave your mark. No matter what the condition, you must continue to write. So in other words, you must leave an imprint on whatever you come across. Anyway, so first of all, I like to take that and just apply it to you and me. Let's say wear this pencil. By the way, if you notice, I'm not wearing my ring. It got stolen, I believe, in St. Kitts, so I have to get a new one. But Gloria and I are still together, and it's wonderful to be married, so no worries. Why is everybody staring at me? Is it the weather? Yeah, this morning I woke up, I was like, wow, that was a short night. Anyways, so first of all, let's pretend our life is like this pencil. Listen, we will only be useful if we are surrendered to God's control, to the master artist. If we give our life to God's hand and say, Lord, here, you can control me. We'll start here with Brother Blondo. If you could open your Bible to John chapter 10, verse 29. Brother Bray, if you could open to Isaiah 64, verse 8. And then Brother Hafner, if you could open to Jeremiah 29, 11, which is what we read. And then Brother Smith, if you could please read Psalm 31, verse 15. Okay, John 10, 29. And again, how do we apply this to our lives? We are in God's hand. For protection, for shelter, for provision, we're in God's hand. Just like, you know, when you use a pencil, the pencil doesn't say, no, I want to come over here and I want to draw this or I want to write this. We have no right to go on with our lives and say, no, I don't want to write that. We should be surrendered to God's hand. And say, Lord, just you do the work through me. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Again, we're the work of God's hand. You know, just like the potter has power over the clay to form and to make anything he wants, that's how you and I should be. This doesn't just apply to college students. This applies to every member here at Maranatha Baptist Church, for everyone sitting here in this building. We must be surrendered to God's will. Why? Because he's the potter, we're the clay. We're created by him and for him. Notice, you know, what Brother Blondo read, we're in God's hand, and nobody can snatch us out from his hand. And that's wonderful. When we were in St. Kitts, like I said, you know, Satan was not happy that we were there. We had just watched the semifinal of the Premier League against one of the teams we played. And as we got out of the stadium, all of a sudden I was walking alone. I was kind of ducking my way down, or waddling my way down because I had hurt my foot slowly. And I heard, at first I thought it was firecrackers. And then I realized it wasn't, because everybody was running and there were people dodging behind cars, so I hid behind a concrete post. Anyways, there were shots, you know, and Brother Smith was like probably like 30 feet away from where that was taking place. But you know, guess what? We're in the Father's hands. He's our shield. Like Brother Hank, you know, that study on the names of God has encouraged me so much. We're in God's hand. He protects us. So many times, unlike a pencil that just surrenders itself to somebody's hand, to the master's hand, we're trying to go our own way. And we're trying to write our own story, young people. And we want to call our own shots. We must surrender for God to use us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Purpose for your life. But it Psalm 31, verse 15. Brother Smith, can you read Psalm 31, verse 15, please? Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, it's not a problem at all. Again, when we're surrendered to the Lord, His timing is perfect, and His timing is in our timing is in His hands. And so the first thing you know is surrender. Just like a pencil sits in the hand and doesn't try to do its own thing, it lets God do the work that He needs done with it. If we're in the Master's hands, we will be submitted and obedient to His command. How about the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, if we're surrendered, surrender results in obedience. Yet, the Lord really convicted me during this trip of how I've been living a life of disobedience because I have not been witnessing on a day-to-day basis. You know, a soul winner is not someone special. It's not. A soul winner is somebody simply that is obedient to the Lord. So I challenge you as the Lord challenged me. Are you surrendered to the Lord? You say, oh, yes, I am. So have you witnessed to anyone this week? You know, I've been going weeks and weeks without once witnessing to somebody. Then I come to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Trust and obey. And day in, day out, rub shoulders with people at work, with people around me that is on their way to hell. And I don't care. Again, we surrender to the Master's hand. Are we letting God do with us as He pleases? Secondly, you know, as the pencil maker told the pencil, hey, sometimes you're going to experience some painful sharpening, but that's to make you better. You know, in our lives, it's the same way. Sometimes that's what we need. We need sharpening. We get dull. We get apathetic toward the things of the Lord. And it's not fun, but yeah, we need to get in those blades there and take all that excess wood to bring out the good, useful things. Brother Klein, could you please read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10? So the first thing we saw is, you know, surrender. Secondly, has to deal with suffering. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, the Lord has to chip away the callousness and the indifference from our hearts. We have to be sharpened. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Trials to come in our lives sharpens to make us better for His use. And it's not always fun. You know, sometimes only God knows the struggle we actually go through. But it's to make us better. And that's, you know, that's what makes God so wonderful. Is He knows. He knows exactly what we need. He knows sometimes when we need sharpening. He knows exactly how to sharpen us when we need to be sharpened. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sometimes the sharpening is painful. It's uncomfortable. It takes us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes the sharpening that takes place is not what we want or what we expected. But we always got to remember that it's always for our best. And if we're surrendered, again, the key is being surrendered. If we're surrendered to God's will, then that sharpening is always for our best. You know, sometimes the Lord uses sharpening through chastening, through correcting us. Proverbs. Could you please read Proverbs 3:11? Proverbs 3:11.
Brother Blanton, if you could read, please, Micah 7, verse
18 through 19. Micah 7, verse 18 and 19. Wow. You know, it's interesting. It said, he has not dealt with us after our sin. As far as the east is from the west, you know, flying in the airplane, I could see, like, it seemed like forever, the stars and everything as we flew last night. Just to think, hey, from there all the way to way over there, my sins are removed. My sins are blotted out. I know. I can read. Are you ready, brother? Micah 7, verse 18 and 19.
Thanks,
6, verse 18, Brother Measley. Proverbs 4:23. Again, there's the diligence. We must keep ourselves pure in this filthy world. And with the Lord's help, it is possible. Why? Because what we put in sooner or later is going to come out. We need to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I know those verses. I can quote them. But when it comes to doing them, sometimes we just love our flesh too much. Psalm 119, verse 11. Again, how do we keep our inside right? We've got to keep it pure. It's God's word. It's walking in the Spirit. Lastly, wow, I'm actually doing pretty good. Lastly, on every surface you're used, little pencil, you need to leave it. And I'd like to point that out is we must be impacting others for Christ. Whether it's our brethren or whether it's the lost around where we live and where we work. Listen, the whole purpose that God saved you and left you in this earth is for that very same reason. It's so that we can make an impact, that we can leave a mark on people's life. And it's not a matter of someday. It's a matter of doing. How are you, young people, how are you impacting your friends for Christ? How are you leaving a mark on others for Christ? Oh, did you hear the latest statistics on the Red Sox, the Pink Sox, the Purple Sox, or, you know, that doesn't last. How are you making an impact for Christ? How are you making a mark and pointing people to be holier, to be godlier, to love Christ more? We'll start back here with, we'll go back that way. Quincy, if you could please read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Mr. Bud, Jared? Yeah. Well, Proverbs 27, verse 17. Caleb. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. And then Brother Phillips. Ephesians 4:29. Then Brother Blondo, back up here. Romans 15:1. Go ahead, Hebrews 10:24. How can we make an impact? How can we leave a mark in people's life? Well, by encouraging them to do right, just as you read. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Again, my question, who are you sharpening right now to love God more, to be more godly, to fill in the blank? We're just talking about materialism and the things of this world. That's not going to help. It's not edifying. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. No, hey, I like sports, and I do talk about sports, and I think a lot of it a lot, too. But a lot of times, we let the earthly, temporal things steal from what really matters, steal from us talking about the things of God. Of even drawing closer to the Lord. Hebrews 3:13. Exhort, comfort, encourage, challenge one another once a week on Sunday when you come to church. that what the Bible says? I'll give you a hint. No. Exhort one another daily. How are you exhorting someone? Listen, brethren. We're supposed to be a family. We're supposed on a day-to-day basis be encouraging one another and exhorting one another and comforting one another on a day-to-day basis. We're supposed to be leaving a mark on other people for Christ. How are we doing? Ephesians 4:29.
Start opening to
games in like 4 days. Oof. And as you get old, you get really, really sore. But you know, when I got out in that soccer field, man, the people there are so fast. Like, man, they'll run loops around you. Like, usually once you get a soccer, you know, the ball, you have maybe a second to 2 seconds, and you gotta get rid of it, or else they'll take it from you. You know, I didn't go out there with my backpack and with my carry-on to play soccer. Hey, you know, and jeans and my steel-toe boots. No, I was gonna be as light as I could. Why? Because I wanted to keep up. You know, the same, you know, in that verse, we need to lay aside the weight. Notice, not the weight which is sin, but it's the weight and the sin. You know, sometimes the weight is not necessarily sin, but it's not the best thing for our lives. Aside the weight and the sin, that so easily, in the world we live, that so easily beset us. In the next verse, Brother Klein didn't read it because I didn't ask him to, but looking unto Jesus. Ultimately, the greatest example of somebody who made an impact on millions of people's life, that was constantly pouring his life into other people's life, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. So how are we making an impact? How are you right now leaving a mark? I assure you that if you earnestly pray as we close in Sunday school, 45 minutes. Lord, give me somebody that I can impact for you. And you obey him, and you're surrendered to him, he will use you. As I close, the pencil understood the prompt and promised to remember in his heart when he went in the box that he was made for a purpose. So as I close, somebody obviously bought the pencil and put it in their cup with all these other pens. Oh, there was Mr. Sharpie there. Oh man, he was bright, and man, he was permanent. I mean, he was used a lot. And there was Mr. Highlight. Oh man, he would brighten everybody's day. And sometimes Mr. Pencil was like, well, you know, I'm not like Mr. Sharpie. You know, I can't highlight things like he does. Oh, and there's a Mrs. Staples. Yes, from Staples. And you know, she was used a lot, you know, and you know, she could really sing, but Mr. Pencil couldn't sing like her. Oh, and of course there was a Mrs. Zebra too. And that's a brand of pen here in the States, is it? Zebra. Okay, I know they are in Brazil. But again, you know, they would laugh at Mr. Pencil. Oh, Mr. Pencil, you know, you can't do the things we can do. One day a soldier, he used to do a recon and fly over, this is back in World War I, used to fly over certain terrains, and he would draw maps. And as he got to go on one, he looked through. He's like, no, I can't use that one. Can't use that one. He went back to the pencil. The pencil was created for a specific person, for a specific purpose. And just like that pencil, you, no matter who you are, you may not be as bright as Mr. Highlighter. You may not be as permanent as Mr. Permanent Marker or Mr. Sharpening that we have to take, but it's always for our good. It's always to make us that I tried figuring out who wrote it.